Will Gray, editor at the Golf Channel, and he joins us here on the Jeff Blair Show. Hey, Will, how are you?
I'm doing well. Good to be with you guys.
Thanks for jumping on. There's two stats that kind of stick out to me that are surprising heading into this U.S. Open. Number one, a lefty has never won the tournament. And number two, nobody has ever won the U.S. Open after winning the previous week. Which one's more surprising to you?
I would say the lefty, just because you feel like Phil Mickelson gets one for finishing second six different times. That should add up to one win for a left-handed player. But, you know, that's more just the fact that there haven't been that many serious contenders that are southpaws. But you mentioned that second stat, and it plays right into the new world number one, Dustin Johnson, who torched the course last week in Memphis. And that's the stat that everyone keeps pulling back. And you say, well, you've never won. No one's ever won the week before going into the U.S. Open. I think that that's more just the fact that a lot of guys tend to skip the week before the U.S. Open. You see some guys like to play their way into the Masters a lot more, tend to rest up for the U.S. Open just because everyone knows how grueling and demanding of a test this tournament is going to be as soon as you get on the ground.
Well, you talk about Dustin Johnson, and he's a guy that last year at the Masters, we couldn't wait because of the form he showed. What is he going to do to Augusta National? Falls down some stairs, hurt his back. We haven't really seen the same DJ since, but at the St. Jude Classic, you talked about it last week, he looked like DJ. He was absolutely annihilating his driver. His length is unparalleled on the tour. Is he your favorite heading into this week?
He's certainly the betting favorite. I would say he's 1A and 1B with Justin Thomas, the guy that he just took the number one ranking from. But it's funny, you're right. I mean, DJ goes out at Kapalua in early January and wins by 7 and seems like the world beater that many people know that he is. And then he kind of goes away. And it's not that he isn't playing well. He's finishing 17th and 21st and 12th. But, you know, it's what have you done for me lately? And Justin Thomas is getting a lot of attention, and Rory and Jordan Spieth. And all of a sudden last week we are reminded that when DJ is playing at his best, when the driver is working and when the putts are going in, he is going to be very, very difficult to stop.
Is it something that you can give credit to the field for, the fact that Dustin Johnson isn't always in the top because there's just more parity, and then he might look at the leaderboard and feel more pressure to kind of make big shots to stay in the conversation? Or is it personally just him not being as consistent as he would like to be?
No, I think it speaks more to the parity. I mean, going into this week, even after his victory last week, there are six players who can become world number one with a win this week at the U.S. Open. So we have a high level of parity, especially at the top. You know, Spieth and Justin Thomas and Rory, even throw John Rahm and Justin Rose into that equation. The top 5 to 8 are very, very strong right now, and almost all of them have a win in the last few months. I think the other thing that hampers Dustin's appeal is that he is very even-keeled and that he's not going to make a lot of headlines and he's not going to get a lot of attention for his on-course demeanor. He kind of goes about his business, and sometimes that's a win by 6 and sometimes that's a tie for 12.
He's a staff writer for Golf Channel, Will Gray, joining us here on the Jeff Blair Show. All right, Will, it's been 10 years since Tiger Woods now, and it's crazy to say it's been 10 years since Tiger Woods has won a major, won his third U.S. Open. Does he have any hope in hell at winning this tournament this week?
At least he's showing up. That's better than he's done the last couple U.S. Opens.
Course.
He hasn't yet. Yeah, he's upright and functional, and that's ahead of the game. I mean, he has not played the U.S. Open since 2015. He hasn't made the cut at the U.S. Open in 5 years. So based on that recent history, you've got to think that he's ahead of the game in that respect. This is going to be a difficult course for everyone, Tiger included. I mean, the rough is thick. The greens are very, very difficult. And if the wind kicks up, this place could be close to impossible to break par. But he has surprised and exceeded expectations pretty much throughout this season. He came back in January. We weren't sure what to expect or what his game might have, and he has contended. While he hasn't won, I think that he has shown some great strides. Phil Mickelson spoke a couple months ago, though. He said, I needed to win a regular tournament before I could go back to the Masters and try and win a major. I think it could be that sort of a stepping stone for Tiger, that he might need to win a different tournament, win the National, win the Memorial, what have you, before he's going to be able to go for potentially major number 15. But who knows? He's proven us wrong before.
One of the major differences in this tournament is that the cut is a little bit different from a normal PGA Tour event. Usually it's top 70 in ties, moves on, and then a secondary cut if needed, if more than 78 players make the weekend. U.S. Open, top 60 in ties to play the weekend, and there's no secondary cut. Does this change the approach by any of these players, or is it just business as usual? Because we know this course is different since the last time that the U.S. Open was held there as well.
Yeah, I think that the word of the week is going to be patience, and that's always the case at a U.S. Open, but especially on a venue as difficult as Shinnecock Hills. Phil Mickelson was in the press room a couple days ago, and he talked about, I'm not trying to win it on Thursday. I need to play myself into position to contend once we get to the weekend. This is a tournament where you have a bad 3 or 4 hole stretch Thursday morning, and you're packing your bags. That's it. Yeah. So I think a lot of these guys, more so than a normal week, they're going to go in a little slow and steady. It's maybe like you see at a championship game where you spend the first half feeling out the other team. These guys are going to try and feel out this course and see exactly where they're going to be able to make their breaks and get a few birdies. A lot of patience is going to go a long way this week.
Yeah, this course is kind of ominous a little bit. I was reading an article earlier, and Paul Azinger had said he remembers feeling claustrophobic when he was playing on this course back in 1986 when they had the Open here. It's quite the beast.
Yeah, it is. I mean, this is my first time up here to Shinnecock, and it is. It's a little bit of a different venue. It's a traditional layout, but you've got a lot of holes kind of crisscrossing. There's a lot of terrain change and uphill shots, and semi-blind shots. And it is, once you get out here, we're kind of all the way out on the east tip of Long Island. The players are talking about how much trouble they're having just getting to the course to meet their practice round tee times with traffic. But once you get here, yeah, it is definitely a different course than what these guys have seen in the U.S. Open the last 3 or 4 years. This is a blue-blood U.S. Open test. A very traditional setup from the USGA.
Will, we all know Ricky Fowler's a guy recently engaged, and he's a guy who had the incredible run at Augusta National, almost catching Patrick Reed there on the Sunday. And he's a guy, he's taken over the mantle as the best golfer without a major. Is he a guy you're looking at who can potentially break through, or does it feel like it's just a matter of time before Ricky grabs that first major?
Yeah, I think it's a matter of time, so it might as well be this week, right? I mean, you mentioned that he played so well at the Masters, especially that back nine on Sunday. When he hit the shots he needed to hit, he made the putts he needed to make, still came up short behind Patrick Reed, but it kind of showed the mettle that you need to win a major championship. Rory McIlroy was just speaking to the media a few minutes ago, and he said, I would be surprised if Ricky doesn't win multiple majors in his career. I think that Ricky getting an early start kind of changes our perspective. You feel like he's been on the block for a long time, but really he's in his late 20s, still, you know, about to hit 30 years old. He's got plenty of time when you realize that Phil didn't win his first major until age 34. This is a course that's going to be a complete test, and that's usually one that plays into the hands of a complete player like Ricky, and I think that it would not be a surprise to see his name once again on the leaderboard come Sunday.
What are the chances if Ricky kind of flames out that there's a narrative about an engagement curse that follows him around until he gets back on top?
Oh, it's so there. It's going to be there one way or another, right? If he plays well, it's like that was it. He's got his life in order, and he got on one knee, and that's all he needed. That was the final piece of the puzzle. Oh, yeah. And if he plays bad, then it's all Allison's fault. So he can do no right one way or another.
I'll wait for your headline following the weekend.
That thing writes itself. Well, before I let you go, got about a minute here. For those people who are filling out some golf pools right now frantically ahead of the Open, what are some dark horses you're looking at that potentially could make some noise this week?
So I don't know if he's entirely a dark horse, considering he won a major 2 years ago, but I feel like Henrik Stenson is not getting nearly enough attention for being a really, really strong contender this week. He's down to 17th in the world. He hasn't won this year while a lot of other top players have, but he is a very strong player, tee to green. He's leading the PGA Tour this year in fairways hit and greens in regulation. That's a pretty good combination when it comes to a U.S. Open. And then another guy maybe a little further down the list is Brandon Grace. He's contended at the U.S. Open before a couple years back at Chambers Bay. Played well a couple weeks ago in Texas and also at the BMW PGA in Europe. He is rounding into form, and this is the major that he kind of circles every year on the calendar. This is the one that best suits his game. So there's two for you, and good luck in losing your money in the pools just like the rest of us.
Yeah, no kidding. Staff writer for the Golf Channel, Will Gray. Will, thanks for doing this. Enjoy the tournament.
Thank you much. Good talking to you guys.